Okay.
All right, I had to blow my nose real quick. Been working outside all day in heat. Man, new project. Shared a little bit with Kelly about it last night, but always gotta be
Yeah,
doing something.
That looks
Idle
fun.
Hands. Idle Hands is the devil's workshop. Always remember that. Idle Hands is the devil's workshop because it goes and starts playing with your mind. So you need to stay busy. Find things that keep you interested and busy and not with things that have to make you worry about stuff, but keep you preoccupied with something that you like doing. And it takes your mind off things. So let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for everybody that's here. I ask that your Holy Spirit be with us. I ask that your ability to speak through me and to give me wisdom and discernment in the things that we discuss. And Father, I just thank you that you're always there. You're always there for the answers, the truth. And no matter what we face, you're always with us. And Father, I just thank you that all we have to do is ask because you're always listening. You're always with us and you're always there preparing a way for us. Even when we feel like there's no other way, there is always a way. We just need to search for the truth in what you have for us and the path that you want us to go down. And Father, I just thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, this leads to the time that I've been away. I've been really, really busy and I haven't had any time to spend on any social media, none of the noise that comes along with it. And that doesn't mean that I don't know things that are going on. I just don't hear all the noise that has to go with it because the noise is a bunch of the crap that causes people to start having doubt, start having, you know, confused thinking and begin to not be able to trust their own judgment because all these other inputs, like they know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, and really, that's the kind of stuff that we need to start trusting our own instincts. Because God gave them to you for a reason and not to just be looking for other people for answers. And the more you exercise that, the better you get at it. And the easier it is for you to check yourself and go, I don't know about that. You know, maybe I should think about this. Maybe I should, you know, spend a little more time doing some other research about something. You know, doesn't necessarily just have to do with research, but it has to do with everything. It's like, you know, God tells me to do something. He's big enough to tell my wife. And if he doesn't tell my wife, then it ain't of God. So my wife and I made this deal a long time ago that if there was anything that was big enough that concerned the both of us, and he was to tell either one of us, he had to tell the other person, and we weren't going to say nothing to the other individual until that other person was told about it. So it's like, okay, God tells me to do something. And then it may be a week, it may be a month, it may be a couple of months. And then the wife will say, hey, you know what? God's kind of been leading me to blah. And I'd say, oh, well, he told me a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. I've just been waiting on him to confirm it with you and put it in your heart so that I know that it's the right thing to do. So this goes with everything, not just big things, little things, but we always just try to leave it to the big stuff. But God wants to help us with everything, all things, but we don't think he wants to be involved in that, or it's just, this is little, I can handle it myself. You need to stop that stinking thinking because that's what it is. you know, you need to start trying to find the directions that are a good path for you to be able to go down, no matter what it is, because there's always a better path than just the good path, because good is the enemy of best. And which would you prefer, good or best? So start thinking about how you know, perceive things, how you are starting to address things, and stay out of the weeds, because the weeds is where all the muck and the crap is at. That's why I never get down in the weeds, because there's nothing but problems in the weeds, always. I don't need to defend myself. Why? Because God's going to defend me for myself. I don't need to. So when somebody would say something bad, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me, because that individual, whoever those people might be, they don't affect me. The only thing that bothers me at all is that when that kind of stuff happens, and then it causes people that were to believe, you know, those things that are said, and it affects them more so than it does me, because it hurts their feelings. They're not as like hardened or tough as far as on the outside as I am. And those things don't bother me, but they do bother some individuals. And some people are more sensitive like that, and that's okay. But just trust me, nothing at all could ever bother me as far as what people say. That old saying, sticks and stones may hurt, break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is 100% true. And we need to start thinking about that in our lives, because we worry too much about what so-and-so said, or did I hurt so-and-so's feelings? And it's like, you know, I don't care if I hurt people's feelings. I don't do it intentionally, but I do try to tell people the truth, whether it be to help them or to guide them in a different direction. Because that's one of our roles, is to be our brother's keeper. And if we're not, then, you know, what do we expect? We expect somebody to, you know, help us out whenever we might be going astray, or we're just too tough for that. We need to begin to look at ourselves and examine our insides of who we are as individuals, and not care what other people think, and don't look to what other people say for validation, justification, or any of that stuff, because that's where it's very easy to get misled, because all it takes is just one individual that starts playing around with somebody's head whenever they're in that kind of state. And it's not very hard to do. The enemy does it all the time. And it's very detrimental, not only to your well-being, but also to your health in the long run. Why do you think God's said so many times, worry not? Worry not, because those things that you worry about, they do nothing but make you ill. And if you can't change them, like the Serenity Prayer says, if you can't change them, then accept those things you cannot change, and change the things that you can. And know that God has the rest. So, you know, I've been working this whole time. Like I said, haven't listened to any of the noise. I do know some of the things that are going on. I still do have people that talk to me, even though I don't have time to be on the internet and everything else. And, you know, it's sad that such individuals actually spend so much time and effort into discrediting or bad-mouthing individuals that they really have no true basis for that other than hearsay. Because these individuals have been given ample time to prove all kinds of misdeeds, and they haven't done one thing, not one. Everything is always an accusation, an innuendo. I know somebody, somebody did this, somebody done, you know, that shit don't work in a court of law. It ain't never gonna work in a court of law because it isn't worth crap. And so there's an article that went came out not long ago. I was aware of it before it was written. And it was a hit piece to being able to try to use multiple angles on QAnon, conspiracy theories, cryptocurrency, fraud, the whole gamut. And it was trying to use all of those things to tie all of that into one nice, neat little bow, which is all a bunch of bullshit. And so you have to look at what things are and who these people are connected to. They're connected to the mainstream media. It was an organization over in London that wrote the piece. And it's like, it's, you know, if you're going to follow crap like that, then, and then start questioning the things that are out there, then I don't know what to tell you, because the protocols are in place. They're actually going down the order of what they have to. Protocol 19 has already started being implemented. Things have been starting to be removed off of the blockchain. Just you got to give things time. But if you're sitting on the internet every day, all day long, or day in, day out, then you know you don't see the changes that happen because you're too close to it. It's like being down in the weeds. So, you know, I had an injury one time, really bad one. And I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to walk again. And I was in a wheelchair. So I was really bad deal. What the story is that, you know, getting hurt, you don't see yourself really recovering because you're in that crap every day, not being able to get out of bed, not being able to tie your shoes, not being able to do this, not being able to do that. And I'm talking months and months and months and months and months. But when somebody hadn't seen you for 4 months or 6 months, and the last time they saw you versus the time that they saw you now, they see the big changes that had actually happened from the last time they saw you to the this time that they saw you, because they didn't see you every day and they didn't see that, but they do see the major change, because it's, you were this way and now you're this way, but you don't really recognize it because of the small steps that you make every day. You're looking for the big one, and the big one doesn't happen. It's little steps, day by day, every single day. But you know, after years, I finally recovered. And it was after I made a commitment to start sailing. And I started sailing boats by myself. And because I had to start getting around the sailboat by myself and started using stabilizing muscles and things like that that I had never really used before in that way, it started to develop them to the point where before 6 months was up, I was not wearing a cane anymore. I wasn't wearing braces. I was 100% walking normal again. Not 100%, but I was well on my way. And it was out there doing something that I was doing on a day in, day out basis that I loved to do. And because I was so stubborn that I was not going to stay that way and that I could do it, I just found a way. You know, you have to find a way, believe in yourself and trust what God has put in you to be able to do those things. And when we always try to, you know, follow individuals and follow people, you know, we don't necessarily need any of that, because there's only one that really has all the answers. And if you're not really in the communication with that individual, then it's going to be really hard for you to know whether or not anybody is basically jerking you around. And it's the truth. You know, God always has a plan for you. It may not be your plan, but it is His plan. And it is the best plan for you. But we also have our own plans. You know, I got out of, I went to Bible college with my wife. I took a time off from Captain then and went to Bible college for a while. I didn't even graduate. I spent just enough time there. And he wanted me to go back. And he wanted me to go back to offshore captainships again. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. Man, I'm on fire. I want to go preach the word. I want to do, you know, I want to do everything I can for you. And he was like, nope, that ain't what I want. And I'm like, man, that ain't what I want to do. He's like, well, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go back out there and be a light in the darkness. And there's things I want to teach you. And I'm like, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. I was like a little poor brat going, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. But, you know, I went back and I did it. And in doing so, I was blessed immensely with the things that happened to me. Some of the events that took place, you know, it was a teaching time for me to start applying all of the word and the knowledge that God had imparted in me. I hadn't learned it. I had only learned it in my head, but I hadn't experienced it. So I didn't have a testimony to give it any authority. So it was just basically, to me, all it was basically theory. Because until you prove something out, it's just a theory until it's proven. And when you prove out God's word to yourself, not only does it become a testimony, but it becomes yours. Because now you have that authority that this works. And this is how it worked in my life. And it can work in yours too. And that was probably the biggest milestone in my life. Learning how to give up my own control. Because I'm a control freak. I mean, I like to be able to control everything. And when you give up control, real control, then it's actually kind of liberating, because you're not really responsible for the things that happen as long as you're following the one that puts you there on that path. If you put yourself on that path, then you are 100% responsible and you're accountable for all that you do, all the actions that you take, the people that you come across. There's consequences in everything you do, everything. There's good consequences, there's bad consequences, there's consequences that decisions you make that affect other people. You're still responsible for that too. And so the reason I said that is because there's people out there that have been caught up in the weeds. And because they've been caught up in the weeds, then they have fallen hook, line, and sinker for the rumor mill crap about things that are going on or not going on, and doing their best to try to either prove something isn't right or prove to discredit, whatever it is. And they are the ones that are going to be the ones that are going to hurt in the end, because some of those people are actually good-hearted people and they care, but they've been misled and they've gotten stuck down in the weeds and they can't see the forest for the trees. And it's a sad thing, because there's people that I care about, and I'll never talk negative about any one of them ever, because there's no reason to, because I'm going to allow God to unveil the truth when it's time for God to unveil that truth. Until then, God don't want it unveiled. And so I am not worried about it, and neither should you. So try to stop worrying about things you have no control over. Control the things that you do have control over, and also make a choice of how you're going to live your day-to-day life. Are you going to be consumed with all of the noise out there? Or you're going to start spending more time with the things that are important that you can't get back? And that's time. You can't get it back. You know, right before I made the last video, our recording, we were going to have another one. Well, I had a family member just up and die. And, you know, it is more difficult when it's not expected from an individual all of a sudden dying than it is somebody that's been, you know, maybe sick for a long, you know, several years, or doesn't make that any easier, but you kind of get prepared for it. You kind of make preparations for, you know, the loss and all of the stuff that has to be done, because, you know, there's a lot of things that have to be done when a family member dies, especially if it's a father, somebody that's the last of the line, that it's nothing but kids and grandkids and things of that nature. So there's a lot of things that have to be dealt with legally, hospitals, funerals, burials. I mean, all the things that you just take for granted in the world, and they have to be done. It's not like, oh, well, we know that you're not feeling good today. We'll put it off until tomorrow. It don't work like that. You got to still go through it. And, you know, my wife is a real trooper. It was her father, her real father. She had problems with for years. That her brothers, she got two brothers, and, you know, they kind of have had issues over the years, but his dying kind of brought them somewhat back together in a healthier way. So I'm thankful for that. And I know she is as well. And we know that, just, you know, finding out, you know, when he had died, that he had talked to my wife's mom, their ex, right? Probably a couple of weeks before he actually had his incident and he fell and hit his head. And prior to that, he had been talking with my wife's mom and had said that basically he had given his heart back over to the Lord and had been going to church for the last couple of years, and nobody knew it. And it was like, praise God, you know? And it was comforting to know that he's known the Lord his whole life, but he's always just rejected it. And to know that in his final, year and a half, he actually started to, be led to the Lord and gave his heart back over to the Lord. So that's all that really matters. And that knowing that he's with the Lord, it's kind of like jealous that he makes it there before everybody else, because he's not in any pain anymore. He had diabetes real bad. And, that's what caused him to have a fall. Is he had a diabetic attack and he passed out. When he did, he hit his head. And in the fall, basically, it caused him to have a major contusion in his brain. And he went into a coma and, he never recovered. So it was relatively quick, within, days. But when it first happened, nobody knew where he was. And he had went to the store to get some Dr. Peppers because he was drinking Dr. Peppers. That's how he was dealing with his sugars issue, because he was freaking hard-headed. Anyway, he was there getting some Dr. Peppers and had a spill in the store and fell. And the reason that we found out where he was is because the store that he was at, his vehicle was parked, double parked in a handicap spot. And they were going to tow it. And when they were going to tow it, they basically had called the home and, made a response that, hey, did you know what had happened to your father? Whatever, he was in accident here today. His vehicle's double parked in the handicap sideways. And basically we have to tow it. And do you want to come up here and pick it up? And that was the first we had found out where he was, what had happened to him or anything. And that he was basically already in a coma at that point. So, and this was almost probably 18, 20 hours after it happened. And so, you never know when the Lord's going to call you home. Every day of your life is numbered. Every day of my life is numbered. I don't know when mine is. You don't know when yours is. And, how are you living your life day to day? Are you doing the things that are, important to your family? Or you just living day by day, just surviving? Because there's a difference. Because we can live day to day, but still take time to smell the roses and to appreciate the good that is in life. With all the crap that is going on, that's just the noise. We don't have to be focused on the noise. It's a choice that we have on what we do, how we see things. And, if you get up every day and try to make the best of it and try to focus on the good that is in your life, because, it could be a whole lot worse, a whole lot worse. And I wasn't expecting any of that. My wife wasn't expecting any of it. It just happened. And, by the time I had dealt with the family issues and so on and so forth, my work had, we started finishing up things, and it got to the point where it was like, I just didn't have time for anything else but 100% focus on what I was doing because of the importance of it. And I wish I could share with what I do, all that kind of stuff. A lot of it's proprietary. I can't really. It's about our technology going forward. But it's like, I'm encouraged to know that a lot of good is coming, and that we have to just be more patient to let those things play out, because they're going to have to play out, and they're way too big for anybody to be trying to think that they have influence over them. So if people want to go and say, hey, I don't believe this, you know, there's a plan, I don't believe, we got to organize and we got to get these people. There was complete corruption in our government, 110%. All facets of our government. The whole point and what Donald Trump and the military were doing was to deal with that specifically. And to understand devolution of government, the things that actually have happened, not speculation, but actually have taken place. Those are the kind of things that show you that there was a real plan. There's always been a plan, and the plan is being worked 110%. And that we need to trust the plan, because if not, all we're going to do is go and put ourselves in jeopardy, potentially get ourselves killed, or potentially kill somebody else. And, you know, if Donald Trump, knowing the corruption, knowing that if there was a threat that we were going to lose our republic, would he have had, you know, all he would have to do is make one statement and tell everybody to rise up. The country's been stolen by communists, and to arm and take over your city, not anybody else's city, but your own city. And we're going to take it all back tomorrow at noon. We would all be done by 2 o'clock. Everybody. It'd be over with, because you got to think about potentially 50 to 60, 70 million people arming themselves to go and take back our country, city by city, across every state in the country. Police departments would like automatically join in because the numbers of people. It would be absolutely crazy. So you have to understand that that could be one statement and it would happen immediately. But he never said anything like that, never even make any comment like that. Basically, it's playing along with the tune and the game that has to be played out, and it has to be played out globally. Period. That's just the way it is. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but it's God's plan. Take it up with him. So this is the way it has to be, and it all has to take place. The country has to pretty much destroy itself. All of these corrupt institutions have to destroy themselves. They have to implode. The financial situation has to implode. We're hearing on the mainstream media talking about the housing market is about to crash. The financial institutions are about to crash. I mean, what else do you need? They're telling you what's about to happen. And if you don't choose to hear the warnings, then I don't know what to tell you, because even the mainstream media is singing that song on a regular basis, that we are going into a serious financial hardship that's coming. It's coming. We need to all be prepared for it. It all has to basically destroy itself so that we can rebuild from the ashes. unfortunately, there has been a backstop to it because they have already forethought all of this out and there's been a plan, but it still has to destroy itself. Do you hear? It has to destroy itself. Has to. So we just have to allow it to happen. We have to go through it. We have to go through that precipice moment that we thought we were at a precipice moment in 2020. We thought we were at a precipice moment in 2021. You're starting to really get to that precipice moment here in 2022. You're starting to get to it. We're not at it, but we're getting there. So if you think that it's going to all be better before it gets worse, ain't going to happen. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Trump warned us about all of these things happening. And until it happens, we're still in a waiting. It's just going to happen. It's got to happen. There's no way around it. The uncoupling of the dollar has already happened. The petrodollar doesn't really exist anywhere in the world anymore. That was the only thing that gave the value to the dollar, period, was the petrodollar. And it's already being removed globally. It was already basically uncoupled from Saudi Arabia, which was what put it together back in 70 with Nixon. You have to see what's happening on the bigger scale and keep your eyes focused on the real things that are happening and not all of the little bullshit noise things that cause people to have doubt, worry, disbelief, unbelief, craziness, crazy talk, can't sleep, I don't know what's going to happen, oh my God, the world. No, it's all going to have to come to an end. But when it does, then we can actually have the birth of freedom, in which you not have never known. I have never known it. We have only had basically a reality of what we thought was freedom. But it wasn't. It was only a mental figmentation of our minds that they created. And the hardest part on being able to challenge or get over is someone that has been basically created a prisoner of their own mind. And that's what they've done. And you try to help people, you try to break them free, and they're their own guard. You've seen it with everybody that you've tried to help in your family, in your friends, anybody that you've tried to say anything to, and what happens? They completely think you're crazy. And you're just trying to help them, but they don't want to hear that. You're nuts. So until they're ready and until they wake up, it's not going to happen. So go on and prepare your life and do the things that are important to you so that you're prepared for what's to come, because shit's going to happen. And when it does, there's going to be the people that I knew this was always going to happen. I never thought, I never wavered. And then there's the people that are going to be, man, I never thought this was ever going to happen, blah, 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 whatever. And then there's going to be the people that, you know, still just don't believe. And they're still just don't want to accept it. But, you know, it's going to be hilarious with those that we find out that are going to be the ones that are going to, I always believed, I never had a doubt. And you go back and you look through any of their kind of you know, thought train over the last 6 months, and they were the doubtingest Thomas, backbiting, bullshit talking, causing more strife than anything else. When is it gonna happen? Ain't nothing. This was supposed to that. They're just so full of shit. They go from one thing to another day by day. They blow around here and there with the wind, and whatever is the mainstream news from, not the news, but the people, and they're just whatever gets people riled up, and they have no conviction to their beliefs. I don't need someone to validate how I feel. I don't need somebody to validate my line that I draw in the sand saying, you're not going to cross this. I'm not going to cross this. This is where I believe. And it's not gray. It's a boundary. And I create that myself. You should do the same. It's very defining when you define those characteristics of who you are, when you figure out who you are. But you have to look inside you, and I mean deep inside you, to figure those things out. So I've been rambling, but I haven't talked to you guys in quite a while. And like I said, there's been a lot of things that's happened. There's been, you know, a lot of stuff that hasn't. The big things that need to happen haven't happened yet. And until they do, then it's just noise. Let it be. So from there, we can understand that it's God's plan, and when God decides it's over, it's over. But until then, it's not gonna happen. But nobody's gonna change it either, because nothing can stop what's coming. Nothing can actually alter when it's gonna happen, because nobody individually is in control over that. And the sooner we figure that out, we're going to be 100% better off. And knowing that our path has already been predestined and laid out there, and we can either get on board or we can try to swim up current and go against it. But sooner or later, you're going to wear out. You're going to go downstream anyway. So you might as well just actually go with what God's doing. Stop trying to fight it. So with that, I'll go ahead and open up for some questions. I didn't intend to talk this long, but you know, like I said, I hadn't talked to you guys in a while, and there's some things that needed to be addressed. But outside of that, you know, everything is good. Nothing has changed. The plan is still the plan, and it's still going forward. Whether it happens tomorrow or whether it happens next month or at the end of the year, I don't know. But I do know that there are certain things that have to happen. And when those things happen, nothing can change them. Protocol 19 has already been started to be implemented. Those things have actually started already happening. How quick or how fast that they go through, I don't have control over that, but they are actually happening. Protocol 20 is slated for the latter part of this year. That's the full implementation of pretty much everything. The NDAs that have been out there expire on September the 11th this year. Those things are all facts. So, you know, all these kind of things, just let it be. It's going to happen. But the big things, those are the things I'm worried about. Outside of that, it's all just BS noise, and I'm gonna let it happen. And so with that, we'll have some questions. And I just want to encourage you guys, more so than anything else, that nothing has changed. And the people that are out there that have been causing problems, some of them, it has to do with the personal thing that I think there's like a personal, like vendetta, like type situation. Not just vendetta, but personal, as in they have personal financial invested interest in it, as well as that it's like somebody got hurt and they're trying to make it their life goal to cause problems. But the problem with that is that they're going to be the one on the short end of the stick. They're going to be the ones that can end up on the short end of the stick. And that person, name always keeps coming up when it has to do with this controversy, and who's the one that's pushing it. It's usually this individual. And this individual, even in that article, most of the reference was based from this individual. It's like he's trying to have his own agenda pushed. And it's like, why? Did you get your feelings hurt? You got financial problems because of it? There's more to it than what it appears. So just see things for what they are. But this individual basically continually is the one that keeps being brought up as the instigator in controversy. But the problem with that is that the things that that individual is bringing up has absolutely no truth, validation, none whatsoever, no proof at all, just hearsay crap. And with that, it's like basically it's a defamation. And if this other individual actually had anything worth taking, then I'm sure that he would be more concerned about it, but it doesn't. But, you know, with that said, this individual seems like he's got real problems. And Protocol 19 is what's going to deal with that. Not him, but Protocol 19 is what's going to deal with that and has already started dealing with that. And going into Protocol 20, and with the QFS, you can't take illegitimate funds that you defrauded off people into the QFS. Just don't work. So whether you believe that or not, I really don't care, but you can't. It can't happen. So it's kind of pointless that an individual would be going to this extreme, but, you know, is what it is, and I'll just leave it at that. We'll go on, Kelly.
Well, Kyle, I also wanted to make mention of a huge win today with the Roe versus Wade getting turned over. I think we're blessed, and it's a blessed day and a time to take our win there.
Absolutely. So, you know, see things for what they are. And
Kyle,
it's one step at a time.
Kyle,
yes,
I missed you.
Hey, Louie, how are you?
I missed you too. I'm glad you're back. I'm really sorry for your family's loss. It's very hard losing the patriarch. I'm sorry you had to go through all that. I'm just glad you're back. I'm happy to hear your voice on today. Like Kelly was just saying, it's a great day, and the rest will go forward.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, Kyle.
Thank you, sweetie pie. Like I said, I am missed all you guys, but we got to stay out of the weeds and know that things are happening. Things are going to happen. We need to be involved in the things that we can change. The things we can't, don't freaking fret on them. Just don't. God's got it.
You always tell me that. You always, always tell me that, Kyle. So you always 100%. Speak the truth on that. Amen. Thank 100%. You. And glad to hear your voice.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We'll go ahead to the first question, and that will be Lorraine 17. Lorraine, you're unmuted.
Hi, guys. So there are people in here that know my testimony, and you are correct, Captain Kyle. I think this is a time in which, do we believe God's word? Are we relying on God's word? And it's not easy. There are some tests and trials and tribulations that we go through that are very frightening. I too have experienced your loss, and I feel for you, and my condolences most definitely. So on to my observation. Very quickly, I live in Rochester, Minnesota. I work for myself, and most of my clients are senior board advisors for the Department of Neurology. But the interesting one that was yesterday, I drove up, I got to my client's place, and I happened to overhear him. He's one of the senior members of the IT department at Mayo Clinic, this one here in Rochester. But when you're in that upper management level, you're called for the other locations in Arizona, Florida, and Dubai. So I happened to hear him say in one of his meetings that he felt they needed to harness and tap into this quantum system that is being implemented in Chicago. And there was one other place. I didn't quite hear it all. And so then when I was helping him put his tires in the Tesla to get him changed over, I asked him, I just said, oh, you're aware of the quantum computing? And he said, oh yeah, 100 million times faster than what we're dealing with now. So that was very encouraging to me, that everything we've been discussing might be coming to, I guess, everything. Everything? Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I work with individuals that actually have been a part of this, and I've actually talked to them about the quantum computer through Honeywell and Honeywell's involvement with the quantum computer. So it's a much bigger thing that's out there than most people have any idea of. Hold on just a second, guys. I got to take this phone call. Just hold on one second, okay?
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes, Lorraine.
I don't know if you saw that information about here locally, because of clear across the board, there are people moving out of here and there are people dropping out of Mayo's medical school. on all levels. My neighbor was telling me about, like, there was a meeting for, because the graduate students are, they don't have a sustainable wage and they can't afford the 42% in 1 year time rent hike. So thank you for your prayers, for my, you know, roof over my head. But I also found it very interesting that, you know, all of a sudden the narrative is beginning to shift it within, you know, I mean, Mayo is big pharma owned, controlled, and operated. So that was really exciting to me.
That is really exciting. When you said that, I like, my mouth was hanging open. So that is really great confirmation, because, you know, we knew it was going to involve the medical community, the hospitals and healing, but it's really cool to hear it, you know?
Yes, because that's a part of what Protocol 20 actually implements, is all the medical technology releasing and everything. So that's what's coming.
Okay, I'm looking for some more hands raised. Does anybody?
All right, we have some more people. Kelly?
Yes, I unmuted Kevin and then adjective noun.
Hi, how are you?
Awesome.
Cool. I was just wondering, sorry, I got cut off for a few minutes, but sorry if I repeat something. Protocol 19, we know what that means for the lobster. We've heard that quite a bit, but is there a bigger list? There's obviously more to that, as far as the quantum financial system and anything else. Is there a bigger list of bullet points to that you know of?
So Protocol 19 is not just for lobster. It has to do with basically the quantum system being released on actually implementing the blockchain technology and removing the fraudulent tokens that are out there and the criminal activities within the banking system that are involved in the blockchain technology right now on both sides of the banking institutions. So it's not just for lobster. It has to do with, you know, not just cryptocurrency. It has to do with every part of the entire operations as far as, you know, the legitimacy of actually having your digital asset backed currency. That's what's being implemented right now. And going forward and putting the pieces into place that will bring them all together. And once all of that is taken care of, then it'll be able to implement Protocol 20, which will be basically the complete QFS going forward. Right now, it's only the start of the QFS implementation is Protocol 19. That's eliminating all of the corruption that's out there, all of the fraudulent activities that have been out there. It's eliminating it all. That's a part of what Protocol 19 is all about, and it's not just for lobster. It has to do with all of them across the board. Good question.
Okay, adjective noun, you use.
Okay, yeah, hey, I don't have any really specific questions, more than I'd just like to hear your thoughts on kind of the state of what we've been seeing in the stock market and Bitcoin. Also, I'm one of those people that you referred to earlier, probably, that reads a little too much, you know, but it's all, I just find it interesting. I don't stress about it, but just, you know, and you see all these remarks about, you know, prepping and 6 months of food and, you know, and how crazy it could all get, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I could see, you know, adding a little bit extra food, maybe keeping a little extra cash. What are your thoughts on that as well? And I'll let you talk. Thanks.
That's good. You know, a lot of the people and stories that are out there, like you were talking about, they talk about a lot of different things. But, you know, what controls people more than anything is when they start talking about things that bring on fear. And where you say 6 months, you got to have money, food, and all of these things. Things are going to get so bad that, you know what? They are going to get bad. They're going to get very difficult. But you're not going to have 6 months worth of food. You know what that would be like? What that would actually cause? That would actually cause complete chaos that we would not be able to recover from, if that was the case. So we're not going to go into, you know, the where people have to basically, you know, fight for whatever they have, and you're not going to be able to survive if you don't, you know, take care of, you know, getting all this stuff for yourself. Basically, and this is understanding the military's role and the devolution of government and FEMA and how FEMA has been structured now and what's who's actually in charge of the taking care of the population and the country right now is FEMA and the 9 actual coordinating officers for FEMA. And that when things do get bad, that the military is going to take over. And when the military takes over, they're going to set up shop inside military situations with Walmarts. The same way that they were going to be implemented with the Walmarts before Trump ever came into play, where they were gonna actually use them as hubs for very bad things, for pretty much rounding people like you and me up. Well, that ain't gonna happen no more. But that program had already been implemented inside Walmart and inside Walmart communications, as far as their computing systems and their whole thing. Man, you can actually, if you have the right access, you can go into a Walmart and you can order any kind of military hardware, anything that military actually has. And it's kind of scary, but it was set up that way back in the 2010, 2011, when Jade Helm was being taken place and all that other kind of stuff, because they were doing exercises, getting prepared to pretty much take down the population and put us all in freaking FEMA camps that weren't gonna, you know, abide by the way that their plan and control was gonna be. And it was gonna be pretty bad. It really was. And that's not gonna happen no more. But the programming and the implementation was infrastructures got set up and now being used by the White Hats for that specific reason. So if you're not prepared and things do get bad, the military sets up shop. Where is the closest Walmart to anybody and everybody in this country? Just about everywhere. And so if they set up shop inside the Walmarts, they have access to medications, supplies, basic essentials, and things to be able to hand out to the public to help the public be able to get by and not have to be able to suffer and do without. To have everything in them and have access to everything in them. So it's always good to have a week or two of supplies. It's always good to have a week or two of monies. I live next to the coast. So because of hurricanes and all that, I live a prepper lifestyle like that, but it's only a couple, 2-3 weeks worth of things. And I just live that way. But to think that I'm going to need 6 months worth of supplies, that's not even reality. It's not. And so we're not going to have a nuclear holocaust and you're going to have to go into a bomb shelter and live 6 months. That's not going to happen. Now, are we going to get the scare that we're going to have a nuclear war? Yes, we are. We're going to be scared that that's going to happen. But is it going to happen really? No. So don't worry about that kind of stuff. But live a more prepared lifestyle and you'll be okay.
When I go shopping, I just pick up a few extra things each time I go. And little by little, my pantry gets stocked to where, you know, a couple weeks. 6 months sounds like an awful long time, but, you know, I'm good for a couple weeks. Also, he mentioned about the stock market and Bitcoin, but while you answer that, I have had a couple people DM me about Trump's stock for his social media. They've, you know, sold off all their other stock, but they're very, you know, of course, very hesitant. Don't want to let go of that. What, while you talk about Bitcoin and the stock market, can you address that one also?
So Bitcoin's going to go to nothing. I told people that owned it back when it was at $60,000, sell it all. They didn't do it. And now they wish they would have, but it is not asset backed. It is nothing backing it but speculation. Period. And so it's has no value. It cannot pass ISO 222 regulations. And as soon as that is completely implemented, that is a part of Protocol 19, which is what's being implemented right now. It has to go away. And all of those cryptos that have nothing backing them, they have no value, nothing. And they're going to one day wake up and they're going to be worth nothing. They're already at $20,000 and it was at 60. And it's going to go to zero and people just keep holding on. They don't let go, but they're going to all be worth nothing. 95% of all digital assets that are out there right now do not meet the ISO 222 regulations of being a digital asset-backed coin. And because of that, they are going away. 100%. Not could be, maybe, they are. They don't meet that qualification. The stock market is not a free institution. It's basically a privately owned. The stock market is privately owned. It's been manipulated and controlled forever. And there is a lot of information out there that goes back all the way to 2015 and prior that Stellar was being developed 100% to become the new stock market. But at that time, they were developing Stellar in the blockchain technologies and the housing entities back then for the Hillary administration and for the corruption that was going to take place and putting people on a social credit system where if you didn't follow their rules, they just cut you off. Well, all of that technology has been taken over, implemented into the new way of doing everything. And basically, they put out the bones. Bitcoin actually was the way that the blockchain actually got developed, even though it was developed in a negative way and to do, you know, basically corrupt things. The blockchain technology and the way that that all, you know, put all that together was what we're going to go forward with the QFS. But the QFS controlling the blockchain is what makes it 100% legitimate and a good thing. Stock market, complete corruption. I've got I own zero stock in zero companies. I cashed it all out and it's sitting there in just cashes in my brokerage account, because these ups and downs and all the other stuff that's happened, I ain't lost a dime, not a dime. But when the stock market crashes, and it will, they've been warning us, they have, not the Q people, not the QAnon followers or any of that crazy nonsense that people want to say. No, it's the mainstream media has been warning that the stock market is overvalued. It has to go through a course correction. This is all foreshadowing of what's to come. They continually tell you what's going to happen. They always do. And they've been saying it for months and months and months and months that the stock market is going to crash. It's got a course correct. All these kind of words that they use in their little mockingbird media organization, it's going to happen. And so just know that if you're going to sit there and play in the stock market, you have the potentiality of losing your shorts. So know what you're doing and know exactly what and when you need to be only playing with money that is okay for you to lose, or if you're day trading it. Because if you're just like, you know, putting it in there and thinking that it's going to grow over time, that ain't going to happen, because it's out of time. The stock market's going to go away. It's going to be the people's stock market. And it's going to be in digital assets. It's going to be through Stellar. And it's not going to be the stock market of old.
And that includes Trump's Truth Social stock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's a part of of the stock market. The stock itself is not corrupt. It's the stock market itself, which is corrupt, just like the banking system is corrupt. The dollar is corrupt. And so all that has to crash and all have to go away so that it can be rebirthed into what is good. And until that happens, then, you know, you're just playing with fire. I made $250,000 on Trump stock in one day. I sold every bit of it at the end of that day.
Nice.
I bought it in the morning when it was first out, $40,000+, because it was cash in my brokerage account. That morning, bought it at $12. And that afternoon, when it was just before it closed, it had been over $100+. I caught it back on like 95 going the other way. And I sold every bit of it, made $250,000 in one day.
Awesome. Good for you. You deserve it.
But I never bought it back ever either. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Next up is Beach Days and then CJ Trumpet. I have you both unmuted.
Hi, Kyle. It's Gina. Thanks so much. And condolences to your family. Just want you to know how much you're appreciated. You're sure welcome. I've got a couple of different questions. First one is about the humanitarian projects. If you're taking a ZIM or multiple ZIMs into the exchange and with projects, I've heard that Stellar will be managing their projects, and I'm just wondering how much ownership will we still have in our projects if they're funded with the ZIMs that we're taking in?
So you have 100% ownership of your program, unless you're actually going into like a joint program with that's already like established, that it could be already something that's going. So when you do a humanitarian project, which it doesn't matter what they are, everything going forward as when we go into our future, basically, what's going to be going on is that you can actually take where you don't even have to have your own ZIMs and do that, to where you can actually do humanitarian projects in your own city that do anything that's good. And there's going to be those, because all of this stuff needs to be basically rebuilt. Because how's our cities formed? How's our state formed? How's our counties formed? They're all part of the corporate structure that has been bankrupt and basically is going away. Because all of those corporations, your city corporations, your state corporations, they're all behooven to the United States corporation, which is 100% defunct and bankrupt. So all of that has to be redone. Everything has to be reformed. All of the social structure within our communities has to be put back together. So when we start doing humanitarian projects, when you have a ZIM, basically Stellar is going to be a part of it because of the way that they're implementing the funding. That's it. They're a part of the funding mechanism. But as far as making the humanitarian project ownership, you're 100% in ownership of it. You're also going to be given opportunities to have project managers, project people that actually do that. Because a lot of people may have a great idea, but they don't have the means or the implementation to make that happen. But there'll be opportunities to be able to get with other individuals that, let's see how I want, that are like, that do plans, that actually put those business plans together for you, put you together with certain people that are part of like construction, or they do the, you know, the concrete part of it, just all the different facets to however you want to do something. And also when we start talking about this, that there's also going to be the funding, which is going to be managed through how you're going to actually get those monies. Most of them are going to be paid out over a long period of time, and the longer that you actually do your humanitarian project funding for, it's generational wealth and generational funding that these plans are going to be out there for you to be able to, like, say I want funding to be, you know, every, you know, quarter, every 6 months, what you can do, once a year payment, however you do it. But then you can also allot, this is going to be over the next 30 years, this can be over the next 50 years, or over 100 years. And because of the way that structure will be set up and set up specifically to you and how you're going to do it, will also be how much it's going to be valued at.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. And currently, I know with the Forex trading, if you can work with a private trading cell, for example, in London or Singapore, you know, you can get funding for green projects currently. I'm wondering, do you feel like the Forex trading on these private trading cells, because of the cabal manipulation of those types of things, are they going to go by the wayside, or will we still have those opportunities on the quantum side for the private trading cells around the world?
So I'm not really sure how they're going to fit into going forward. I know that they probably will. It's like, you know, where people have like their Google addresses or their Google, you know, things within their whole network of stuff that they have, like, say, a business or things like that. Well, all of that, like, information and technology is not going to just, like, get thrown in the garbage, but it can be actually re-implemented into a new program or to a new system to where it will kind of work the same way, but not with the corruption aspect to it. It's kind of like Binance. Binance was a corrupt institution, but it's being used now by the white hats to actually do funding and to be a trying to think of the word I want to use, like a clearinghouse. So it's not the word I want, but anyway, it's not being implemented for the corruption as it used to be. So when people see Binance, they automatically think, oh my God, corruption. Well, part of some of these technologies and some of these groups that are part of the blockchain and blockchain technology, one of them is actually a organization that's by the Clinton Foundation, but it's not corrupt. It's 100% legitimate and was taken over by the White Hats, but it's still got roots from the Clinton Foundation, because like I said earlier, all of that was basically back in when it was first starting, was back in the 2014-15. That was when Hillary was going to be a shoe-in. She was going to take over and they were just going to run the table with everything. Well, that didn't happen, but they'd already were like elbow deep in all of this stuff that all basically got taken over and flipped. And so when people start digging into stuff, it's real easy for them to get misled in what they're looking at, because a lot of these institutions were initially corrupt. And so back to your actual true question, a lot of these programs that are out there are not going to all just go away. But which ones are going to survive, which ones aren't, don't really know. But if they have a value to them, then most likely there'll be some kind of form of it going forward.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yes.
So Gina's from my group, and she had a very interesting story she told us. Gina, would you mind retelling that about when you went for your training and what happened with the attorney with the quantum?
Sure. This was many years ago. This was probably like 2015 or 2016. I've been a Las Vegas, Nevada real estate agent for over a decade. And every other year you have to go in for 2 days in class training and then continuing ed. And it's usually taught by like a mortgage broker or an attorney. Then they go over the new laws for Nevada, et cetera. And back in, I think it was 2016 or 15, I went there and I've been living in Houston. So I went back to Las Vegas for this training. And the person that was supposed to train, I don't know, they weren't available. So there was an attorney from Reno that showed up and took the class for 2 days and was our instructor. And he did cover the new NRS statutes and things like that. But seriously, for 2 days, what he spoke about to the 200 people in my class was all about QFS. He was so excited about it because he had just learned that they were building these big buildings in Reno and on and on. And he gave us the location and all of these details and talked about the spatial technology and the quantum technologies. And for 2 days, you know, 8 hours a day, that's what we, and I didn't know anything about it until I was in this real estate continuing ed. And so it really piqued my interest, and I had we had projects, construction projects with my company going on up in Reno. So I actually drove out to where they were building these buildings and stuff because they didn't show up on Google. And then I kind of started asking around, and there was another attorney we did a lot of work for up in Reno, and he seemed to know quite a bit. It's just been interesting to hear the insights from, I guess, the locals over the years that were in the know, to kind of see how, you know, it's been implemented and how it's changed and, you know, what the even the things that will still change from here on out. But it was just very surprising, you know, 5, 6 years, 7 years ago to be hearing all these things. And so, and then there wasn't much, I couldn't find much online about it. And I just kind of had a, you know, over the last 2 years, there's been a lot more available. But it was very interesting. I highly doubt that the gentleman that spoke was probably not supposed to share all that information, but it was very beneficial information.
Yeah, you know, that's really awesome that you talk about that, because, you know, the Treasury has moved out there. It's not in DC anymore. And I actually had posted a lot of information on the QFS, the quantum computer, and a lot of stuff that was out there, the closing house and all kinds of different stuff. And one day it was just like off the internet, like they never existed. I was really fortunate that I actually downloaded all of the information and downloaded, like, all, they had a whole bunch of the PDFs that had to do with the different kinds of programs, and then also like the patents and everything that went with it, and all this kind of technology that was going on there. And just one day, up and gone, like it just never existed on the internet at all. And it was you know, I think it was out there on the internet when it really shouldn't have been, especially with that much of the information as it was, like you had said before. But you know, people think that the Treasury Department and all that stuff still in DC. DC is like empty. There's nothing in DC anymore. And so it's all going to go away. The Treasury, the IRS has already been consumed into the Treasury Department. The Federal Reserve was already consumed into the Treasury Department. The Secret Service is a part of the Treasury Department. So, you know, these are facts. These are not speculation. These are actual facts that can be 100% validated if people want to take the time to actually do the research and find the information. I've posted a lot of it over the years, but you know, it's amazing when we get firsthand information, like you were saying, where you were, you know, going in this training and somebody was talking about it and how it was being implemented, and it was being implemented right there, basically in your backyard. And who knew about it? Nobody. And it's amazing that they can pull off things like this and nobody knows nothing. Really?
Yeah, it was really exciting to hear that boots on the ground story. I was just like, when she just started talking, I was like, what?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think that's great. I love to hear people's firsthand experiences like that.
I do too. It's awesome. Okay, we got CJ Trumpet, and then Ed and Catherine in that order. You're all unmuted. Go ahead, CJ.
Hey, Kyle. Thank you so much for taking my question. Thank you for having the chat. It's been very informative so far. My question is kind of going back to the stock market a little bit, because my husband's still working. We're not quite to retirement yet, and we have an awfully lot invested in our 401k. It won't kill us, but what will happen to our 401ks that have some investments in the stock market?
Nothing. Fortunately, that was a part of Trump's plan, the White Hat plan, that the 401 and the brokerage houses basically have been ripping people off forever. And their whole scheme has not been to benefit the retirement funds, but to actually line the pockets of the brokerage houses. And so they have been caught time and time again using funds that they're not supposed to for different kinds of transactions. So Trump and the White Hats basically made several statements. You could go out and find them online, that your 401ks are safe. even with them being tied to the stock market, because the quantum system has been basically running side by side along with all of that funding. And when the stock market crashes, your retirement accounts are going to be refunded by the monies that are available, that it's a part of the corruption that the banks have been doing forever. So if you're doing, like, say, day trading, or you're like doing your own investment banking yourself, but it's not tied to like your 401k, if you're just doing like your own brokerage deal, then that's at risk. It's a risk when you put a dollar in there to start with. It warns you that it's basically you're gambling with the stock market. But your retirement accounts are not going to be affected by that. There's a, basically it's a golden parachute for anything that's associated with a retirement account, IRAs, anything that has to do with that. So you're going to see it go to nothing, or you'll see it take a massive hit. But when the stock market is eliminated and it's brought back as the people's market, then your retirement account basically is going to be funded as of where it was whenever all of the crash started. So you won't lose your money. It's going to be basically, it's backstopped by the white hats, knowing that this had to happen. They're not going to punish the people for having to lose their money because it's tied to the stock market, that they have to intentionally crash so that they can get rid of the corrupt system. People are not going to be punished for that. So as long as it's a retirement account, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be okay. It's safe.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Next up, Ed. Ed, you have to unmute yourself. Okay, we'll move to Catherine. Catherine, you're muted.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Thank you, Kyle, and I'm sorry for the loss. My question, I know you talked a little bit about the ZIM and how that's going to work out. We hear all this talk about the RV with other currencies. Can you kind of talk about that process, and if you can, and so many people have so many things to say about it. I just wanted to see or ask about that whole process. And I'll.
So, yeah, so basically, when the RV basically all it means is a revaluation of the currency. And the United States is going to go through an RV. All of the different countries are going to go through an RV. And so if, do you know what your dollar is worth right now?
Our dollars right now.
Dollar. Yeah.
Is worth nothing.
Real value. Well, it actually does have value to it. It's 16 cents. 16 cents is what your dollar is actually valued at. And so that's why when they keep talking about inflation, basically all it is devaluing your dollar so that their corruption can continue on and keep on taking money away from basically people. And when our money is actually revalued and attached to gold, which it will be, and when that happens, then that gold dollar is going to be valued by your dollar, where you can actually trade that dollar in, which is only going to be worth 16 cents, but it's not whenever you trade it for the real dollar. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And so that same thing's going to happen for the people that own dinar and all of the other currencies out there. When their money gets revalued, then your currency that you have will be able to be cashed out. But when you cash it out, you're going to be cashing out for a dollar that's a gold-backed dollar and not a 16-cent piece of crap that basically is not worth, you know, toilet paper right now, really. And so all of this is going to take place. And when it does, if you have currency from, you know, other countries, good deal. I didn't personally ever buy any of the Zims or the dinar or any of the other currencies, but that doesn't mean it's not a good investment, because I have a lot of friends that have bought it and have been a part of groups for 15 plus years. And so, you know, there's been like talk out there that this is the Bush scam and blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's not a Bush scam. It's actually a true valuation. Trump said 110% that everybody is going to be on an equal playing field. And for everyone to get on that equal playing field, everybody's currencies have to be valued at the same place. 100%. And so that's nothing but, you know, people out there that are naysayers or they're disbelievers. They have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And so just let them talk. But the reality is that if you own that currency, then when it comes time for you to go in and trade it in, it's going to be worth whatever they set it at, so that all of the currencies will be valued on the same playing field. Not what it's valued at right now, because most of it's all valued way under what it is. Just like your 16-cent dollar is going to be worth what a gold dollar is actually really worth whenever you trade your dollars in. Whatever money you get that's in the bank, it will automatically be converted without you having to touch it. But if you've got like, you know, $5,000 in your safe at home, then when you take that down and give it over to the bank, because you're not going to want to keep it, they're going to give you the value of the gold-backed dollar the same as you're going to be trading in like monies from other countries. So don't worry about it. It's going to happen. And when it does, you're going to be financially blessed. It's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a good thing for everybody in the world. And there's two different monies too. There's going to be like an in-country value for like those foreign currencies, and then also a value that's outside the country, international currency market. And it's basically to get all of that currency off the street so that the only currency that's out there is the legitimate currency moving forward.
Oh, thank you for answering that. Now, is there any kind of timing on this, or it's just whenever?
It could happen tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, it's Saturday, but it could happen anytime. It's out of anybody's hands. And so whenever it actually happens, it's going to happen. And so everybody keeps on putting dates out there. It's going to happen by the end of the month because such and such has, they don't freaking know. And there's only probably, I would say, less than 5 people that actually really do know the actual day that it's going to happen. And that's in the world. Less than 5.
So just be prepared.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people that have a good idea because they've already gone through like training They've already gone and got themselves certified in a lot of different areas. So they all know it's coming. They just don't know when. They had to get prepared for it for when it does happen. Just like the banks had to get the ones that are going to go forward. They all had to get the upgrades and everything in them so that they can actually operate on the QFS. And so if you go into your credit union, stuff like that, and you see the virtual banking, that virtual banking is tied to the Quantum system. There's no other reason for you to ever go to your bank to do internet banking inside your bank when you have a bank internet on your telephone. Why would I drive down to the bank to do that in a private little office? Because that's what they are. They're your own access to the Quantum system until people get their Quantum devices.
Very exciting. Can't wait. I want my Quantum device now. Okay, we've got JC, Nino, and then Ed, you're all unmuted. Go ahead, JC.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Kat and Kale, for all your information and all you guys behind the scenes. And I really appreciate that. And I don't know how can I pay for that, but I will one day. Captain Kyle, I have a question about 2-on-1. When we're talking about RB and so about dollar revaluation, so that means so all, I mean, the prices will be the same like all over the world. Like, for example, if I want to buy a Coke in the United States, it's going to be the same price as if I'm going to the Costa Rica, as an example. And that was my first question. And the second one, forgive me my ignorance, but I'm kind of afraid, like when we're talking about Jesara and Esara, it seems like everybody's going to be wealthy. And I mean, there's not going to be money worry about it. And I'm just kind of afraid, like, that means like people don't want to work. I mean, it sounds like a socialist thing, but I mean, forgive me my ignorance. So can you?
No, it's okay. Please? I mean, that's okay, yeah. to understand. So, so people are not going to be able to have so much money that they won't be able to have to work anymore. Will you be able to not have to have to work because you are forced to do a job that you hate? No, you won't have to do that. You'll be able to do whatever you want to do, but you're not trapped at a job that you freaking hate doing, because you are going to lose everything if you don't. There's a big difference in being able to be financially secure and still have to be responsible, that you may have enough money to be able to live a pretty good lifestyle in for 2-3 years. But after that, then you can't just keep on living that way. So there's going to be within the Quantum system, you have to be participating to be funding and be able to get monies like you're talking about, where they've talked about a EBI, a monies that you get on a monthly basis. And they've been talking about this for several years, and this went all the way back to the presidency for Trump whenever he came into office. One of the guys that was a part of the Democratic Party that was running against Trump back in Hillary's time was actually brought it up then. They brought it back up in the last election, and that basically there needs to be some kind of basic income for people whenever they go forward. But in doing so, you're gonna have to be doing something that has to do with basically a participation within society. A lot of the new technologies that are coming out and that I've seen basically are going to eliminate a lot of the workforce right now, which is going to be the fourth industrial revolution. And in this industrial revolution comes technology that basically people won't have to work 70 hours a week to be able to survive. People will be able to work 25 and 30 hours a week and still make a really good income, but they don't have to be slaves to their job. It's going to be a completely different, it's going to be a really hard for people to, you know, grasp it at first, because people have to work so much just to survive, to pay their bills, to keep gas in their vehicles, and to just keep food, keep their roof over their head. Well, going forward, you're not going to have to worry about those things, and you'll be able to do things that are going to be a contributor to society. A lot of technologies that are coming is going to be replacing technologies that should have been replaced 70 years ago. But in doing so, that old technology has to be removed, it has to go away, and that people are going to be paid very handsomely to go out and to do these jobs. And so people are going to want to do this work because of the good it's going to be doing, but also how much money they're going to be paid for doing them. So yeah, there's going to be the few that say, you know, I don't want to work anymore. I can just live comfortably. I don't have much that I want, and I can just, and that's okay. But the majority of people are going to want to participate and moving forward in the new technologies and to be a part of our future. And the good thing about it is that we're not going to be working to live anymore. We're basically going to be living and working as that's not our life. And people don't know any part of that right now, but they're going to have to be introduced to it, get used to it, and move forward in it over the coming years, because that's our future, whether you like it or not. But technology is going to be replacing most labor jobs that are just monotonous labor, that just the other computers, robotics, and things like that can do much better, but they can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they will only need a small amount of people just to manage the work of that technology and not have to be married to that job just to survive. So life is going to be a whole lot better for people moving forward. So technology is going to change the way our existence is in a very good way, and it's coming very soon.
Okay, next up is Nino and then Jeff.
Hi. Hello. I just wanted to actually at the end, I want to make, let me make a comment now about what you were talking about. One of the exciting things about technology, I can't do it anymore because I'm getting older, but I started out as a programmer with machine coding, and I could see exciting careers in technology, especially in high-end software design and programming going forward with all this technology that's coming out. So for the young people, I think it's very exciting. For me, I'm older now, and I can't sit on the computers like that like in the old days. I wanted to just make that comment. You could comment on that after, but I wanted to go back to the protocols 19 and 20. And I just want to kind of outline my thinking with it. And you tell me if I'm thinking properly about this, is that I know I was all excited and waited for this protocol 19, which is now in place. And I'm expecting the protocol 20 now later on this year. And the way I'm looking at it is after protocol 20 is in place and starting to be implemented, that basically IS 2022 is pretty much in place, which is going to really take effect on January 1st of next year. And I'm looking at it that that's pretty much the game over time for the banking systems and the crypto, because they really have to, if they can't comply, they're done. And that's just the way I've been thinking about it. I wanted to see what you comment on that. And then if you could comment on something with the beginning part of what I was saying, I was just kind of getting excited thinking about the programming stuff. So.
So with the programming and that technology, there's going to be a lot of robotics, a lot of technology that has to do with the computers and that type of going forward that are going to be replacing monotonous jobs that basically the technology has already been there, and I've been a part of it with what I've kind of been doing. Can't really talk about it because some of the things that are proprietary, and if I go and start talking about it, so I could end up in jail. Not going to happen. So, but it's coming. There's like when they started talking about the basic income, things like that, they had already known that people needed to start getting prepared for that, because a lot of these jobs are going to be going away. And a lot of this workforce is not going to be able to just automatically be retrained and be able to go forward in a lot of the new technologies that somebody being 50 years old or 60 years old, and they're a truck driver and their trucks are now going to become automated and they're not going to be driven. There's going to be like truck trains where trucks actually can operate in tandem with five, you know, trucks in a row. They all talk to each other. They all communicate with each other like there is one. And I've actually seen it. They've been working on this stuff for years, spending billions of dollars, because it's all coming. And sooner or later, they're going to implement that technology out in the marketplace. And when they do, people are going to be unemployed, and they're not going to basically have a real means of employment. So they have a choice on either being re-educated or just living off their basic income, or actually getting involved in like social programs, things like that. And those social benefit programs are going to be things that are part of the community rebuilding, as far as the community structure and all that stuff, not actually building, but just the changing of the cities and their communities, and being a part of that redevelopment of it. And when going forward in that, then yeah, there's going to be an income and all that that's going to be sizable. That's going to be a good thing. And people will be able to do all different kinds of things and going in the future. But as far as like the new technologies, people are going to have to be even re-educated in the quantum computing technology, because it operates completely outside of the boundaries of normal computer operating systems. It doesn't operate in ones and zeros like a computer does. And that technology, people are going to have to be trained in it. And going forward, that opportunity window is going to be huge for people in development and implementing it into businesses and devices and repair and new construction of, you know, technologies and all this, you know, things of our future are very, very exciting. And I see it on a regular basis. And I wish I could talk more about some of the things, but I can't. But the Protocol 19 is the beginning of the ISO 222 implementation, those protocols being implemented into the blockchain technology, implemented into the banking systems. And once Protocol 20 actually comes into existence, basically that has already been done. It's been completed, and all of that corruption has already been removed. So once Protocol 20 actually comes into play, the new technologies will be released and the free energy will be released. The patents that have been held up will all be released. All of that technology that's been suppressed is going to be released when Protocol 20 actually comes into play. Protocol 19 is actually the time period that is the implementation of eliminating all of that corruption across all the gamuts that need to be eliminated before that can go forward. Because Protocol 20 is actually the full-on QFS and all that comes along with it.
All right, thank you. And so Protocol 19 is really that one of the things that's talked about a lot is a lot of these like scam type tokens or tokens that are not backed by anything. So all that cleanup appears to be starting now.
That's right. That's
what leads into right now. Protocol 20. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so Protocol 19 is the elimination of all the corruption, so that all the corruption will actually be dealt with and eliminated before Protocol 20 is actually implemented. You cannot implement that kind of technology and that kind of social network of things until the corruption is eliminated. And that means arrest and all, gone, removed. So that is one of the wonderful things that's happening right now that is leading us up to Protocol 20, because once Protocol 20 actually comes into play, our world is going to change really quickly. I mean, really quickly.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, next up is Jeff. Jeff, you're unmuted.
Hello, Captain Kyle. Thanks for having this call this evening. I have a different line of questions or a question. I don't know if it's the type of question you want or not, but it's in the religion question. And just give a little history about myself and my wife. We were raised in a very conservative religious group. And I'm surprised that my wife and I woke up to what's going on and were able to break out of that and have an understanding that it may not be as we were taught growing up as far as the end times and all that. I guess my question is, the people that are completely asleep in these religious groups, I know God has a plan to wake them up as well, but I guess it's kind of a burden to me, because you know they would view it as everything's going to continue to get worse and worse, and then, you know, the earth will burn and then the judgment, you know. So it's a little different line of thinking, completely different line of thinking of what I've been learning about recently. So I didn't know if you had any thoughts about these type of groups. I wasn't raised Amish, but it wasn't too far off of that type of group. So that might give you a little idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so you know, the Amish and some of the kind of lifestyle that they live is not so bad, because they actually just live a purist lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually, you know, one of the communities that never succumbed to any of the craziness from, you know, the COVID crap and all that stuff, because they didn't watch the TV and they didn't watch the news and they didn't get, you know, all filled with all the crazy, you know, things in their head that all of a sudden that they're going to get sick and they need to get vaccinated and they need all this crap, blah, 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 you know? And so it's not a bad thing. And you're 100% right that God does have a plan for all people. And he is actually starting to implement those plans for all the different people. And as a father and the creator of all that is, he is actually implementing the plan for him to actually reveal who he is, what he's actually all about to all of these different churches, religions, and so on and so forth. My biggest problem with religion is that it's mostly about control and who is it trying to control and why. And Christ came for one big problem. And his big problem was that he was dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. That was the organized religion of his people, and he was completely against it and basically came against that organized religion because it was that they were trying to control the access to God, which they didn't have, but they were using their positions as a godly person and being able to control the people. Christ came and he rebuked them, called them a den of thieves in his house. And he didn't kind of toss over tables. I'm sure that he went in there and he kicked tables over and he was livid with the way that they had actually was treating his house of prayer, and basically told the people that your relationship with God is not in a building. Anywhere that you and someone else get together, that in my name you pray, and I'm amongst you, that God is in you and God dwells within you. And for us to put the importance of a church, meaning a building, not an organization, is for one good reason. It's a way that people can actually go and congregate with like-minded individuals. But whenever a church actually starts to use that pulpit as a way to be able to control people and how they view the world, then it gets to the point where that building is not being used for the purpose in which Christ meant it to be. You should be brought to that place so that you can worship amongst other like-minded individuals, and that you can be in fellowship, because we were never meant to go through life alone. But what does the enemy always try to do? He always tries to isolate us. What happened with COVID? They wanted to isolate us. They wanted to keep us away from everybody. They wanted to keep us to where we couldn't be in communication with people, and caused us to be separated. And that is a very detrimental thing to people. They know this. The enemy knows this. And what did they attack? They attacked people with churches and wanted to put them in jail for going to worship. And that is that's an amendment right, that there is no clause in our amendments or our constitution that says you give up your right to your amendment to be able to go and worship however you choose because of COVID or because of whatever. There's not one. And so for them to try to say that they can stop that from happening, they can't. And they had no right to be able to do that at all, period. But what their intent was is to get people isolated in their homes so that they could begin to continually feed them with the television so that they could program them and keep them in fear of the coronavirus, and so that they could begin to force them into doing things that they had no right to be able to ever do, ever. But if they weren't able to stop people from going and congregating together and being able to get in large groups where they could actually talk about these things and talk about things that they believe or don't believe, or whether it's horse crap or not, then that would have stopped it a lot sooner than what they actually finally did. So my problems with organized religion is that it hasn't been what it was ever meant to be. There are good ministers out there. There are good, godly men out there that do teach good, honest, fundamental teachings and have a good foundation of what their relationship with their flock as a pastor or as a shepherd to the Lord, and whatever basic beliefs that they want to believe, as long as they believe that there is a God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that Christ was born of a virgin and that he died for our sins, was resurrected from the dead. And if you believe that and that you accept him for your salvation, you are saved. Every other part of that is basically where I believe this or I don't believe that, and I only believe part of this, and it's where our church is because we only believe in so much. You know, it's either you believe it all or you don't believe any of it. And so you can't pick and choose. And the problem with that is that they knew that there was a lot of the word that needed to be removed so that people couldn't understand who they really were, why we were really here, and that they could manipulate us by basically removing parts of the word. God knew that they were going to do that. That's why he ended the book of Revelations with that. And basically told them that if you add anything to it, I'm going to add the plagues of this book and all that is thereof, all that is thereof. And if you take anything away, I'm also going to take away all that are the blessings and all of the things that are for you away from you as well. And he knew they were going to do it. Knew it was going to happen. But the problem with that is that they left enough parts of it that there's all kinds of hidden nuggets within the word of different parts of it that are that connect to different parts of it, Old Testament to the New Testament, and references back and forth. And because they left just enough of the nuggets there, it was able for the Holy Spirit to be able to expound the truth into deeper truth of what is really meant by those things. And basically, we didn't need to know the parts that was basically, you know, removed or that had been manipulated, because the Holy Spirit can deal with all that as long as you allow it to happen. And the truth is all being exposed right now. And it was in its own time. If this happened 10 years ago, then you wouldn't have the same outcome, as God's timing is perfect. And like I said, you know, God has a plan for everybody. He has a plan for every, you know, belief that's out there. And just because people have different beliefs, almost all of them are actually worshiping the exact same God, but in a different way that they don't even realize it. So be encouraged that God has a plan and that he's going to be dealing with all of this deception. And he's going to do it in his own beautiful, perfect way. And when it happens, it's going to be just awesome. So just allow God to work with you. And however, you know, is meant for you is not the same as it's meant for me, but that's okay, because God's still got a plan for your life, just as he's got a plan for mine. Like, you know, with this platform and everything that came with it, man, I didn't ask for any of this. I didn't want it, but God's what's made it happen. And, you know, it's his plan. So I'm just doing what he wants me to do.
Okay, so Kyle, I know you wanted to wrap it up at 9 and we're running a little over. I've got 2 DMs with questions. Do you want me to read them and then we can wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Angie asks, hi, Kelly, can you please ask Kyle about the housing market? Is it going to crash and be worse than 2008? What are his thoughts?
Yes and yes. It is going to crash and it is going to be way worse than 2008.
Okay.
And if you had a house and you were selling it, I would sell it and I wouldn't buy anything right now personally. I mean, I've talked to Kelly about this personally, that if I had a house that I was selling, I would sell it right now, but I would actually go and get me an apartment or something like that, that I would actually go live in until after the housing market crashed and corrected everything on the financial system, the bubble. And then I would actually go and buy, and I'd be sitting in high cotton. So if you're a seller, sell, but don't be a buyer right now. Okay. If you have any other means, meaning if you have to do something, then you have to do something, right? But you can also be smart about it. But yeah, the bubble is about to pop, and it's going to pop really bad.
And the last question is, what does Kyle think about moving a retirement account to gold and silver option IRA?
That's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's still protected under the IRA, and it's also better protected, meaning its value whenever it's attached to gold and silver when gold and silver gets reevaluated. So it'll actually be worth a whole lot more whenever it's revalued under the gold and silver after their revaluation. Because gold looks like that they're looking at, you can go look at this for yourself on debtclock.org and look on there with the reevaluation. If they were to reevaluate gold today and go on or reevaluate silver today, what it would be revalued at right this minute. And usually it's 2,500 or something like that for silver. It's usually 20,000 to 30,000 on an ounce of gold. I don't know. I hadn't looked at it in quite a while, so I'm just putting it in a big range. But it's pretty sizable. And so if your IRA is attached to that, and the revaluation took place, and that's what it would be revalued at today, meaning tomorrow, whatever, then that's what it would be attached to. And that's how much it would be valued at, which is really freaking good. So that's a good thing. A really good thing.
Okay, so that's it then.
All right. Well, this week I will be back on my job, be a little bit easier workload for me, but I will be working night, so it'll be hard for me to do a chat first part of this next week, but I will see about possibly doing one close to next weekend, either next Friday or next Saturday, something like that. I'll be on days, and then I'll because I'm going back to my normal schedule, so I'll be available at night on the next weekend. So possibly we'll do one either Thursday night or Friday night this coming week. And so whatever questions you have, just kind of hold them till then, and we'll try to readdress them then. Like I said, stay out of the weeds, stick to the big plan, because all the other stuff is just noise. Don't get caught up in the stories and all of the bullshit that's out there on social media. Everybody wants to be like the person that is the one that has all the answers. And I don't follow anybody, no one, nobody. I have people that are on my thing that I follow, but I really don't. I don't even hardly go on it. So just remember, let the Holy Spirit, let God talk to you. Stay out of the weeds, spend time with your family, and start getting yourself more involved in things that you have control over, hobbies, something that is good and that can take your mind off of all the crap that's out there, because there's a lot of crap out there. Just don't let it consume you, because like I said, your idle hands is the devil's playground. So you know, thinking that, you know, just hanging out, not doing anything is good and relaxing, but in reality, it's not very good for you, because that's whenever the enemy actually screws with your mind. And keep your mind focused and busy with good and healthy things, and spend more time doing things that are worth value, like your family, because we don't know when our last days are here. Even though we don't expect to go, I could end up dying tonight in my sleep. I don't know. The only one that does know is the Lord. And so just make sure that you're living every day doing something that's positive and good, and doing something good for your family, because that's all that really matters. Family should be your first. Everything else comes second. So love you guys. I've missed you. It's been a great talk. It's been a great chat. And we'll do it again very soon. Remember, be out of the weeds. And don't listen to the noise. And you'll do a whole lot better. I promise you. 100%. Love you guys. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Okay, good night. Thank you so much, Kyle. Good night, everybody. Bye.